Habakkuk chapter 1, where Habakkuk learned that God intended to use the wicked Babylonians to punish his sinful people, Judah. And the lesson was called, When God Isn't Fair. Now the book opens with Habakkuk complaining to God because he doesn't like what he sees from the people of Judah. There's lots of evil and corruption and injustice. So he wants God to do something about it. And God responds, Trust me, Habakkuk, I have a plan. And when God tells him what his plan is, Habakkuk is even more unhappy. The Babylonians, it's not fair, they're worse than we are. How can you use somebody worse than us? However, to his credit, Habakkuk does have faith in God. And he does realize that he lacks understanding. So he ends this complaint he has with the first verse of chapter 2. This is an unfortunate chapter division. Verse 1 should be the last verse of the first chapter. But that's the way it goes. So as he ends chapter 2, verse 1, he ends it with these beautiful words. Ken, let's turn off the wireless and just use the pulpit. Let's try that. I think that'll work better. We're still having an RF problem with our wireless system. And so just bear with us. Rex has been here 3 or 4 times already. And he said, I know I'll have to come back at least once more. We're going to get the bugs worked out of this thing. And so, you know, maybe we add a different coat of paint or something. It'll change it. I don't know. Anyway, so he ends chapter 1 with this phrase from chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch and see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. That's the New King James Version. Now, there's an old song that we sometimes sing here. It's called Living by Faith. It was written in 1918. It has 4 verses. We only have 3 in our book. But listen to the words. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worries are vain. Though tempest may blow and storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The master looks on at the strife. I know that he safely will carry me through, no matter what evil betides. Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? Our Lord will return for his loved ones someday. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love, from all harm safe in his sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. So chapter 2 begins with Habakkuk saying, I'm going to climb a wall and I'm going to watch and I'm going to wait until you give me an answer. And then maybe I'll get the picture. But I certainly don't get it right now. That's what he's saying. I just don't understand, Lord. Now in this lesson, we're going to let chapter 2 show us 3 specific things we can do when we're going through difficult times. And I'm not going to be using the entire chapter. The middle of this chapter is a description of the wicked. It is a very, very poignant description of the wicked. And there are some sinful things that are done today in America that are mentioned in this very chapter. Some sinful things that are done by wicked people in this country that are dealt with in great detail in the middle of this chapter. But that's not the focus that I'm going to make today. We're going to look at the first 4 verses of our text, and then we're going to look at the end of the chapter. Now, this is what you can do when you're struggling, and you know that God could do something, but he's not doing it. And you're wondering, God, where are you? What are you doing? So the Lord answered me in chapter 2, verse 2. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it
plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. What is it? It's the vision from God. It's the answer to Habakkuk's questions. Habakkuk has heard the news that God is going to destroy his people's world. Their world is going to come crashing down around them. Their economy is going to be shattered. Their way of life is going to be destroyed. They're going to be carried away into captivity. Their temple is going to be torn to the ground. Their whole world is going to be shaken up and turned upside down. God is going to destroy their world. And he's going to use the evil Babylonians to do it. Now, problems come into our lives and they take many forms. But what good does it do to whine and complain about what's going on? I mean, really? What good does it do? We ask God what's happening. We ask him to explain to us, to tell us. And too often we don't really expect God to tell us, do we? We don't really expect God to give us an answer. So we rarely stop and listen when we ask God these questions. When we're in the midst of a crisis, when we're in a problem, when we're dealing with something that we don't know how to handle, something that's beyond our control, we rarely stop and listen for the answer. You know, we can and we should ask, God, what are you trying to tell me? Lord, what is it you want to show me? But then if you will stop and listen, and if you will try to get outside of your own perspective, your own viewpoint, your own way of looking at things, and try to look at things from the biblical point of view, you will often get a clearer picture of what is really going on. Now, just because you listen to God doesn't mean you're going to like his answer. Doesn't mean you're going to like what he says. As we learned last week, Habakkuk did not like what God said to him. You know, the Apostle Paul had a thorn in his flesh. Y'all know about that. I know you do. And he prayed over and over again about this. God, I know you can do something about it. Please take it away. And he got an answer, but he didn't like the answer. So he asked again, and he asked again. And God's answer was, Paul, I could take it away, but I've decided not to. Why? Because I'm going to do something even better than take it away. I'm going to use it to teach you that my grace is all you need. Now, obviously, Paul didn't understand that, but he listened to God. He got an answer. And though it wasn't what he asked for, he understood that it was what he needed. And he knew that God was using this to do his will. And that's what Paul wanted, brethren. And that's what we should want above all things. We should want God's will to be done. Because he has a better idea of what's going on than you do, than I do. Now, when life's hard and you don't understand, the first thing you need to do, brethren, here's number one, listen. You need to listen until you get an answer. You start by praying to God and sharing with him your concern and what it is you're seeing. Share that with him. Speak to God about it and then listen. And you listen by studying God's word, by opening the Bible, by searching the scriptures. This is how you listen to God. God is not going to speak to you today like he did to Moses. He's not going to come down to a mountaintop, have you meet him up there and talk to you one-on-one. It's not going to happen. God is not going to give you a vision in the night, a dream to make you think and prevent you from sleeping. He's not going to cry out to you in some still small voice, Samuel, Samuel, here am I. No. But he is going to speak to you through his word. If you will listen. If you will listen. So when you're in the midst of a crisis, what's the first thing we normally do? We panic And we run around like that little boy in Home Alone. We just run around with our arms in the air and we don't know what to do. If we'd stop and pray and then listen to God, we would find answers. Now, the answer may not come immediately, but it will come. So study God's word. And then ask godly people to help you understand what the scriptures are saying. And pray and study. And then pray and study some more. And then pray and study some more. And listen until you get an answer. That's what you need to do. That's the first thing. The second thing that we learned from Habakkuk, what he did is to write what God showed him. God told him to write the vision. Well, what good will that do? Do you ever make a grocery list? Huh? Do you? Maybe I should say, should you? Because how many of us have gone to the grocery store, gotten back home, looking through the bags, and forgot the baby? No, wrong. That's not what you forgot. You forgot the butter, or you forgot something else. So why would you not make a grocery list? Because, you know, we don't think we'll forget, but we do forget, don't we? All right, Faith sends me to the store to pick up five things. I can remember five things. I've got five fingers on this hand. I can remember, well, thumb. I can remember five things. Faith says, get milk, get eggs, get butter, get cornmeal, and get garbage bags. Oh, okay, one of these things just doesn't belong here, but okay. So here I am, I'm on my way to the store, and what happens? A fire truck comes racing down the street, and I'm looking at that thing. That's distracting. Then I get in Walmart, and there is Lamar. And we just talked for a while about Faye and Velvet and how we wish they'd treat us better. And then, now I'm trying to ask myself, now why am I here? And I can't remember what those things were. And of course, that's what cell phones are for. And then I remember I didn't bring my cell phone. Now in the same way, some of you may have had a time when you've been studying and praying, you've had a crisis, you've had something in your life, and you've been studying and you've been praying, you've been studying and you've been praying, and you've been waiting for God to give you some help to help you understand, and then it starts to make sense. The light bulb goes on, and it may be a sermon you heard, it may be a passage you read, it may be a conversation that you just simply overheard, and the light bulb goes on, and it just seems so clear to you. And now you can face this situation in faith, and you're thinking this was obviously from God. But then what happens? Time passes, the situation is resolved. Did you learn anything? And now a new trouble arises, and you're back to the same old doubt and frustration. Why? Because you forgot what you had learned. You didn't write it down in the back of your Bible. Most Bibles, now this is a gift Bible, but most Bibles have lots of, if you have a study Bible, in the back of your study Bible are several blank white pages. Have you noticed that? And even in the front, if you have a good study Bible, there's going to be several blank pages in the front of your Bible. What do you suppose those are there for? They need ink on them. You need to write down when you get something, when you get an insight, when you learn something about how to deal with life, you should write it down so you will not forget. Didn't Peter tell us the same thing? He says, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds, I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before." 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. He's saying, I'm writing this to stir you up. That's why he wrote it. And now you can turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and you can read that and read what he wrote, and it will stir you up and it will remind you because he wrote it down. And so the first thing that Habakkuk learned is that I need to listen. And the second thing he learned is I need to write it down when I get the answer. I need to write it down. I need to make those notes to remind me lest I forget. And then the third thing that you need to do when times are hard, and this is where the title of our lesson comes in, you need to wait. You need to wait. Wait. Oh. The title of this lesson is Waiting by Faith. Contrary to the song, Living by Faith, but Waiting by Faith. You know, waiting is never easy, is it? Sometimes things are much more special. They're much more valuable when we've had to wait on them. And God knows that, and He will use that sometimes. And sometimes He'll make us wait a long time. But we hate waiting on 565 or even Burr Green Road. We hate waiting. Why is it people blow their horns if you're sitting at a red light and you don't move within 3 micro milliseconds of the light turning green? Why do they start blowing their horn? Because they don't like to wait. We are into instant oatmeal and 1 minute grits and microwave popcorn. We are into that and we don't like to wait. We want instant gratification. We want Wikipedia Christianity. That's what we want. Where we can get the answers to every question just by punching a few keys on our smartphone, tablet, or computer, and we can get the answers to every question that we could possibly ask. But brethren, sometimes you just have to wait. Listen to what God says to Habakkuk in verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, it will not tarry. What does that mean? Though it tarries for a while, it will not tarry forever. Though it makes you wait for a while, eventually it's going to happen. It will not continue to tarry. So he says, though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry, meaning continue to tarry. When God promises something, you may have to wait for it for a while. And some of you right now are in God's waiting room, and you're sitting waiting and waiting and waiting. Maybe you're starting to think that nothing's going to happen. But remember this, God's delays are not denials. Just because God delays is not God saying no. Sometimes God's delays are simply God saying, wait. Jesus said to the disciples, I have many things I want to share with you. Would you not love to have sat beside Mary in Bethany? Wouldn't you love to have sat beside her and listened to Jesus talk? Wouldn't you have loved that? That would have been spectacular. Or to listen and as he told, listen to that sermon on the Sermon on the Mount, to be in that crowd. Or to be in the crowd where Jesus taught from that fishing boat sitting out on the water. Would that not have been spectacular to be able to hear that? Oh man, to listen to what Jesus has to say. Jesus said to these disciples, I have many things to say to you, but you're not ready to hear them yet. You're going to have to wait. Whew. God's delays are not God's denials. When God promises something, it will come to pass. Though you may have to wait and longer than you think is reasonable. Now here's a thought. Mobile phones. Brittany calls Faye. It's time for us to go. We've got to go somewhere. We've got a place to go. What does Faye do? She sits there talking on the phone till she finishes the phone call. It's a mobile phone. You can get up and go. On a landline, you're tied to the line. You might get an extension so you can walk across the kitchen. And we got cordless phones. You can walk out of the house, but you can't leave the county. But with a mobile phone, you can go. I can talk to you from Haiti on my mobile phone. You can go anywhere with it. It's mobile. Get up and go. Get up and go. Now, I'm not fussing. Maybe a little. Oh, the roast is going to burn. Here's the thing. When people think about waiting, they think about sitting still, don't they? Think about a doctor's office. You're sitting there and you're in a waiting room and you're waiting and you're just sitting still. What does a waiter do in a restaurant? Is he sitting still? Not if he's going to keep his job. He's not. He's active. He's on the move. A waiter serves, right? Here's what you do when you're waiting. You get on with serving the Lord. You continue serving God the whole time. Even while you're waiting, you're serving. In fact, that's how we wait on the Lord, by serving Him. That brings us to verse 4. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. This passage is quoted several times in the New Testament, in Galatians, in Romans, in Hebrews. God says in this verse, there's two kinds of people. There are proud people and there are people who live by faith. There are two kinds of people. There are people who trust themselves and people who trust God. God says people who trust themselves are proud. They're puffed up. They're full of themselves. They think they're smarter than they are. They think they're better than they are. They think they're wiser than they are. They think they're more enlightened than they are. But they are wrong. God says the righteous will live by faith. They will live by faith in me, God says. They will trust me, God says. Proud people trust themselves. So those are your only two options in life. God says you can trust me or you can trust yourself. Those are your only two options. Everything else is just details. So what's the point here? If you try to work for your salvation, work it out hard, and you try to earn it, you try to be a good person, one of two things will happen. Number one, you get really good at being a Christian. You get really good at it. You resist all manner of temptation. You do all kind of good works. You're always there. You're always smiling. You're always in a good mood. You don't run your mouth the wrong time. And when you do speak, it is wisdom from God. And you get so good at being a Christian that you could be guilty of committing the worst sin of all, because you could become prideful about how good you are. Does that sound familiar? Did Jesus tell a story about that? The Pharisee and the publican, remember that? You could become so prideful in how good you are at being a Christian that you could commit the worst sin of all. And then you're actually farther from God than when you started. Or the other option is you're not very good at being a Christian. You fall so often, you fail so much, and you become really depressed and frustrated. You get full of guilt because you just can't seem to do it. And maybe some of you are feeling that right now. You work really hard trying to be a good Christian, but you get frustrated because you just don't feel like you're making any progress. See, here's the problem. We all want comfort and ease and continual blessing. And rightly so. Who would want pain and suffering? Who would want to have to do without? Who would want to have to face poverty? Who would want to have to face an incurable disease? Who would want to face crises in their relationships and in their home? Who would want that? Who would want to face persecution or affliction or hardship in any form? Who would want that? No one in their right mind would want that. We want comfort. We want ease. We want peace. We want things to go well. But God wants faithful people who trust Him. And faith comes only through stretching. Through stretching. What does that mean? Your faith has to be stretched. It has to be tested. It has to be put in crisis. You have to face suffering and problems for faith to grow, for faith to become more than what it is. And if you live in continual blessings and comfort, you don't have to trust in God. Not really. And your faith takes a nosedive. That's why Jesus says it's so difficult for a rich man to enter into heaven, because they don't have to trust God very much, so their faith doesn't really get the chance to grow. And that's the whole message of the book of Habakkuk, and really the whole message of the entire Bible. Trust Him. And that's what it all comes down to. The righteous will live by faith. They learn to live not by what they see and not by what's going on around them, but instead they will live by faith. And so even when it looks like everything is going in the wrong direction, even when it doesn't make any sense, even when everyone else is saying, you know, you should just give up because God is not going to do it for you, even then, the righteous do not live by what they see. They live by faith. And if you're one of God's people, then you're going to say, I don't live by what I see. I live by faith. Now, as we come to the end of chapter 2, there are some unusual and comforting words here. Okay? Some unusual and yet comforting words. This is the ultimate answer for any hardship that you face, for any difficulty that you have to endure. This is the ultimate answer. We've talked about the three things that you need to do when you're in the midst of a crisis. You need to listen. You need to write it down when you get the answer. And you need to wait. You need to wait. That's three things that you need to do. But, here's the ultimate answer to any hardship that you face. The ultimate answer when you don't have the answers and when life is hard. The ultimate answer when you are allowing the circumstances of life to draw you closer to God. You're trying to get closer to God in spite of those circumstances. Chapter 2, verse 18 through 20. What profit is the image that its maker should carve? Talking about idolatry now. What profit is the image that the maker should carve? The molded image, a teacher of lies, that the maker of its mold should trust in it to make mute idols? Woe to him who says to wood, awake, and to silent stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, yet in it there is no breath at all. The futility, brethren, of trying to work out everything on your own, the absolute futility of it, of trying to solve all your problems, the futility of trying to let what you see and what you hear determine how you're going to act, the futility of the worldly mind and the worldly viewpoint. It is all futility. It is no different than worshiping an idol. It is no different. But the Lord is in His holy temple. These idols are dead. They're empty. They're nothing. They were made by their makers. Their makers worship the things they've made. How foolish is that? But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Stop your whining and your complaining and your moaning about your fate and trust in God. That's how we get through it. No matter what it is, that's how we get through it. The Lord is in His holy temple. See, people get caught up in the things that they can see and touch, and they doubt what they cannot see and what they cannot feel or what they cannot know for certain for themselves. Habakkuk says, I don't understand what God is doing and I don't like it, but the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. In other words, the Lord is still in charge. The Lord is holy. He is good. He is righteous. He is true. And even though everything else looks like it's out of control, the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before Him. He is in charge. He is in command. So I will not give up. I will not give in. I will have faith. I will keep trusting. I will continue serving the Lord. I am waiting by faith. And I challenge you to wait with me, to serve Him while you wait, to do the will of God every minute of every day, and don't let anything of life distract you from being God's faithful servant. Wait in faith. If you're not a Christian, what better moment than right now to give your life to the Lord? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Then repent, turn from your sins, and commit your life to the service of God. Confess the sweet name of Jesus, that you believe He's the Son of God, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Let the blood of Jesus wash your sins away. And if you've already obeyed the gospel, but you've not been faithful to your Lord, you've allowed anything to distract you, to pull you away from Him, come back to Him before it's too late. Whatever your situation, we invite and encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.